The Lord laid three messages on my heart for this meeting, so I'm expecting we'll shout at least two. So that's my plans, and if we don't do that, I don't know what I'm going to do. But maybe we'll shout just to hear quit, so we won't have to hear me preach. But I do feel these little messages on my heart for this meeting, and hopefully the Lord will help you. In the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 90. Chapter 90. Then we'll be reading from the book of Jude. Appreciate all you parents coming tonight, pastors. And I pray that when this altar call is given, that you'll just get right up in here and wiggle your way in and help pray somebody through to victory. Now, I might get in trouble asking this, but I've had two or three people tell me they got saved last night. If you got saved last night, stand up. If you got saved last night, whether you was backslider or just got saved last night, praise the Lord. Amen. We ain't even got through the first night and we got five saved. Huh? Now, how much is that worth? That's worth buying air conditioners for, ain't it, huh? That's worth a little. You can't put a price on it. And I'm just glad I get to be a little part of it. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our year are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, I'm going to tie this together, so if you don't get nervous, just leave that up to me. In the book of Jude, we read, in verse number 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Set forth for an example. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Our life is like a tale that is told. These people were set forth for an example. Heavenly Father, help me to preach tonight, Lord, to these wonderful young people. I pray that in some way tonight I might be able to influence their lives, God, and touch their hearts. And most of all, that I would say it in a way that the youngest to the oldest would understand and comprehend and receive from your word. I cannot do it on my own. I don't even want to try, Lord. I know that I am and can do nothing without you. So help me, Lord, tonight. Anoint me to say it as you want me to say it. Only what you want me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. And God, nothing of myself. God, anoint the ears to hear, God, and to receive. And God will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. For the sake of the tape ministry tonight, Brother Steve, you could just write down your story. Your story. Come on. But my title tonight is When God Turns Your Life Into a Story. When God Turns Your Life Into a Story. Life is the developing of another story. Every story has a beginning, an ending, and an in-between.
Right.
Chapters, divisions, sections. I thought about here tonight that there are things that are written about people. When you write about somebody to tell about their life, we call that a biography. A biography is the story of one's life. Now, I don't know if anybody here will ever have a biography written about them. I don't know. Who knows what might happen, but no doubt many of us have read the biography of someone, the story of their life. And, as we are here tonight, we have no choice about how our life begins. This story of our life that is being written, we didn't start it. We had no choice in the beginning. Brent Marquis was born on August the 8th, 1977, in Charlestown, West Virginia. And Brent Marquis had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
Huh? She was born Christy Faith Doble until I rescued her on July the 13th of the same year at the Rockingham Memorial Hospital, and she had absolutely nothing to do with it. Huh? Somewhere around 1900, 1910, Gene Garrison was born, and he had absolutely, nothing to do with it. No, he's not. He looks that old, but he's not really. In other words, tonight, this story that is being written tonight, it's already begun. It's already started. And we had nothing to do with how it started. Wherever your mom and dad lived, that's where your story starts. Wherever they took you to church, that's where your story starts. Amen. The job your dad had, the trade that he had, your mama, how she read. All these things have done been written. There's nothing that can ever be changed. There's nothing that we can ever do to turn back the pages. But here now, as the older we get, we become more and more involved in our story. As we begin to make decisions that affect our life, as we begin to decide things that affect our eternal destiny. You see, the older we get, the more we become involved in this story. The more we have a part in how it will be written. The more that we have a part in how it's all going to turn out. I read to you tonight about in the book of Jude about three things that God turned into a story. I read to you, first of all, he talked about the children of Israel, that God chose them out, Brother Larry. I thought tonight about the beginning of the children of Israel. It started with a man named Terah, the father of Abraham, whom God called out, Brother Tim Simmons. Now stay with me. I got a little preaching to you tonight. It's going to take me a little while to get where I want to be. Now don't leave me. Just stay with me. And Abraham, but Terah stopped halfway. And there Terah's story ends, right there, of stopping halfway in Haran. But Abraham picks up the story, and we have the story of the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And it goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And then we get into the chapters of their lives, 12 tribes of Israel. But all through the story of the children of Israel, we find that they were full of rebellion. We find that one day they were serving God, and one day they were serving idols. And we find that one day God's dealing with them, and they're repenting, and the next day they're going back to their sin, until finally God got fed up, and he sold them into slavery, and the Bible said they were set forth for an example. God made a story out of his chosen people, but it has such a sad ending. They never did become what God wanted them to be. They never became, they never reached their potential that God wanted them to. Come on here now. Now I know God has a plan from the beginning.
But I want you to understand me. I feel like that I don't believe in predestination. If you do, we'll talk about it after service. I don't believe God predestines men to hell. For you see, God is not willing that any should perish. But that God, Sister Carrie Kelly, has a plan for every life. But man makes his decisions along the way. And in God's master plan, when a man follows God's plan, then it goes God's way. But when man leaves God, and when man strays from God's will, and from God's plan, amen, then man ventures into his own territory. And after a while, God will put an end to your story. After a while, God will put the ending. Amen. And it won't be a happy ending. It will be an ending that makes a man cry. It will be an ending that leaves you sad and broken and empty. Amen. We read about Israel. He then talked about the angels. With the beginning, God created them. When He created the beginning, when it all started, God made the angels. And after God made them, we find that they had everything lovely. They were meant to praise and worship God, and just to be the choir of heaven. And they had no worries. They knew no pain. They knew no sickness. They knew no problems. And it looked like a wonderful story that would have no ending. For you see, they were created for eternity. But rebellion rose up in the heart of Lucifer. And we find that it became lifted up in itself. And all of a sudden the story turns ugly. And God throws him out of heaven and casts him down to hell. And the ending of the story will be that he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. Oh, such potential, such ability, Lucifer. Oh, one of heaven's most beautiful beings. Amen. But oh, you made a sad ending to your story. God made an example out of you, Lucifer, and cast you out of heaven. Amen. And then we read about the city that I preached about last night, called Sodom and Gomorrah. And as we read about them, the Bible said that they are set forth for an example. Oh, what potential. They had money. They had finances. They had the ability to be a great and a prosperous city. But God turned them into another story. A story that we tell. Amen. Of the destruction and the wrath of God. As I look over this cornfield, I preach a little bit. As I look over this congregation tonight, I see potential. I see the beginning of some beautiful stories. As I look over this congregation, I see young people with such potential. You're pure. You're sheltered from the world. You've got a golden start on life. But oh, my friend, tonight you will decide how the story will read. You will make your choice tonight on how the story will go. You will decide in this service how that God will finish your story. Amen. Woo! Stay with me here now. I read, amen, about a boy named Absalom. Now let's get this down here where we can understand it. Where was he born? He was born in a king's house. His daddy was a wonderful man. His daddy was a great man. A King David. Absalom had great potential. He had great promise. He could be schooled by the best teachers. He would be trained in the best. He lacked for nothing. But there comes something in Absalom called pride and rebellion. Oh, what a destroyer. Rebellion and pride. Oh, my goodness. And I'm looking as we read through the story of Absalom. The Bible said he was a goodly to look to. He was very handsome. He was well built. He was a likable kind of guy. He had a lot of friends. But all of a sudden, I turn the page and the story starts to get ugly. I see a boy that's likable. I see a boy that's full of pride and full of rebellion as he begins to turn against his daddy. Begins to turn against what he's been taught. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. And I watch as he causes an uproar against his father. Causes a rebellion to arise in the nation. And now watch as I get to the end. It's not not a pretty picture. God has finished his story. He's hanging out of a tree, thrust through a dart, just a young man. Life snuffed out. Life is over. God has finished his story. God has wrote the end to his rebellion. Oh, what will your story be? Huh? When God writes a story of your life. That's what I believe about it tonight. I believe in predestination, as I said, that God predestines us to hell. But I am a firm believer, young people, from the youngest to the oldest, that God has a plan for your life. Huh? Boy, y'all tired on me tonight, ain't you? Y'all done played too hard today. God's got a plan for every one of your lives. If you could see it, it might scare you. If you knew what it was, you might be happy. Who knows? But God's got a plan. But just as God's got a plan, the old devil's got one too. I said the devil's got one too. And his goal is to see that he gets the ending to your story. Oh, my God of heaven. I said he wants to see the ending of your story. What will it be? We've already got a beginning. Amen. We're in a chapter right now. Oh, my God of heaven. Will you, like Absalom of old, start out with promise, start out with hope, start out with joy, but end in destruction, end in heartbreak, end with a daddy crying? Woo! I had last night in one of my little skits, Sister Garrison crying over the loss of a son, and I thought about the ending of this story of Absalom. The last mention of Absalom we have in the Bible is as David cries, Absalom, oh my son Absalom, would to God I could have died for you. And as I close the book and I think about the story I've read, it's got such a sad ending. I almost wish I'd never read it, but it started out so good. It started out so good. And as I close the book, oh, I feel God in my soul. As I close the book, oh, I walk away saying, I wish it had never been. I wish I'd have never started. I wish it could. Oh, God. I read about a boy named Esau. I found the book. I opened it. It starts out with such a wonderful beginning. Oh, it's got such a lovely beginning. It's the second, the third son of promise. We had Abraham. Then we had Isaac. And now we've got Esau, the firstborn son. Oh, my. He's going to inherit it all. Man, he's going to end up wealthy. He's going to end up with God's blessing in his life. Maybe we could liken him to someone who's about a fourth generation preacher, huh? Third generation preacher. You say, my daddy was a preacher. My granddaddy was a preacher. Maybe there's a mind, that's the way it is in my life. Maybe there's a couple other here that could say, yeah, that's the way it was in my life. Promise, a good beginning. He didn't have nothing to do with the beginning. It's the way it worked out. Life handed him a blessing from the very start. But oh, I watch him. Amen. As the pages start to turn ugly. As he despises his birthright, he despises a move of God. He sells it for a bowl of beans. And the ending, amen, afterwards, he wept bitterly, but he found no place of repentance. Oh, what a sad ending to the story. What a tragic ending to a story with such a beautiful beginning. What will your story be? Huh? Here tonight. I'll stay with me. I'm going somewhere. We might shout a little bit here, a little bit. Who knows? Born to James Pittman. Promise. Didn't have nothing to do with it. But a good start, huh? Now, if you was born, your parents weren't saved. Hold on, I'll be around to you. Stay right there. Born. Lisa Garrison. A good beginning. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Well, he's got a good mother. Huh? Huh? Born into a Christian home. Born with a mom and dad that takes him to church. And the story starts off beautifully. I like the way it's developing. Going to church. Things is going... Come on here now. But oh, you see, right now, we are writing the story. Will we do the will of God? For our lives are as a tale that is told. Right now we are writing the story. Oh my God of heaven. I thought about, I was going to say this later, but I want to say it now. You know what I thought about? Right now this week. Maybe there. How many, I want to know something. How many of you here tonight are keeping a diary right here? Does anybody have a diary in this place? I never did. I got one, two. Come on, let your hand up high. Don't be embarrassed. We're not going to read it after church. I know what yours is all about, Ryan. You don't know nothing about you, Cam. Hey man, let your hand in. And right now, hallelujah, look at this. You know what I thought about this week, Brother Tim Simmons? This week we are writing a chapter of our lives. Huh? I said, this week we are writing a chapter of our lives. This week, when it's all said and done, we'll go to another chapter in our lives. There are some of you here who have a chapter from last year. It's a good chapter. The story's going good. But some of you have come back this year. You're not on fire for God. You're not praying like you was when you left here. You've grown cold. Oh, my God of heaven. I wish you'd get in this altar. I wish you'd seek a face of God so that when this chapter was written, it would be just as joyful. As the last one, that when you look back at life, it would be a happy time. It would be a joyous time. It would be a good and a blessed chapter of your life. Set forth for an example this week. Well, it's quiet here. This week, we are writing a chapter of our life. When it's all said and done and all done and said, and you sign off and go to the next chapter, what will this one say? On June the 30th, I arrived at Mount Olive Youth Camp. Huh? Would it be I showed up because Mom made me go and I just endured it and was so glad to leave? Or will it be I came with anticipation of a moving of the Holy Ghost, and I was not disappointed? I left. Oh man, I left the mountain physically, but my soul is still on the mountain. My heart is still full. I'm still bubbling over. And two or three chapters down the road, just like Brother Garrison said at his church, they're always talking about it. Amen. The next chapter of your life, you'll be referring back to this one. Oh, in the chapter of Mount Olive. Amen. That's where I got help. That helped me through this trial. That helped me through this valley. That helped me through this hard time. Oh, how will the story go? How will your story end? What will this chapter of your life say? Woo! Hold on here now. So Esau, a son of promise, but his story doesn't end up so well. Come on here now. I got too much to say and too little time to say it. Samson, the angel prophesied before he was ever born, he'll be God's deliverer. Before his book was ever written, an angel was writing a foreword, talking about the book and the story of Samson. Huh? There'll not be a razor on his head. He'll not drink strong drink. We haven't even got to chapter 1. And it's already an exciting story. And the book has not even been written. Chapter 1. He's born. Healthy, beautiful son. And the chapter so go. And it's full of promise. It gets exciting as you read. As he grabs a jawbone. And he slays 1,000 of the enemy's camp. It gets exciting. As they tie him with ropes. And it breaks him asunder. It's better more than a Superman comic book. And the Spirit of God comes on him and it rips a line in two. Wow, what a story. What a book. But hold on. There's a bad ripple coming through. There's a sad place coming. Samson's got a fatal attraction. It's going to get him after a while. I've been catching it throughout the story that he's got a little rebellion against his parents. I've been catching a little hit here and there. And I feel like if he doesn't get the victory, his story's not going to have the ending I want it to have. Hold on here now. You boys might sit down on me on this. In the story of your life with such promise, I detect ripples of rebellion in some of your lives. It may seem small now. You may shake it off now and shout for a little while at youth camp. But if you don't get victory over it in this meeting, it may make a sad ending to your beautiful story of your life. Some of you girls here, your mama says, don't cut that hair. You sneak in the bathroom. You start snipping it off. Well, I don't cut it to my shoulders, Brother Brent. Yeah, just a little ripple of rebellion is all it is. Huh? Come on here now. Mama says, don't wear that makeup. And as soon as you get in the car and you head to town and mama's not there, you pull it out of your purse and start putting a little bit on. Oh, Brother Marky, is that like doing drugs? No, it's just a little ripple of rebellion that could turn ugly in the story of your life. I don't want to get hung up on this, but this is the burden of my soul. Amen. Some of you here, I've talked to you young girls and you young boys about talking and dating. Amen. Sinner boys. And you say, oh, Brother Marquis, I'm actually quote unquote dating. Yeah, but those feelings, amen, are starting, amen, to rise in your heart. And you're starting to like that one that's not saved. What is it, Brother Marquis? It's a little ripple of rebellion in the story of your life. Oh, my God. Would you please turn? I don't want the ending that Samson had. I don't want to see the horror. I don't want to read the rest of the story. If you don't get rid of the rebellion in your life. Well, I just tell you, Brother Brent, I think I'm getting big enough to make my own decisions. No. Mom and Dad may not always be perfect, but they're certainly watching out for your soul. And I'm going to tell you, you can't afford a ripple of rebellion. And all of a sudden, God's hero, the one that had me excited, the one that had me pumped up, the one that had me feeling like a He-Man, as I read of his mighty acts, now his head shaved, his eyes are burned out, and he's a grinding in the mill, and I'm wishing I'd never read this story. I'm wishing I'd never opened the book. Oh, God. I feel such a burden tonight because I feel like I've got a part in a chapter of your life in this youth camp. And if you don't get help, I don't guess it'd be totally my fault, but if you don't get what you need and you turn out to be disaster, oh, I'm going to feel sad. I'm going to say, God, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Could I have done something more? Could I have said it better? Amen, I'm trying to root out the rebellion. Amen, point out the error. Why? Because I want a happy ending to your story. I want a joyous ending to your story. Oh, Brother Larry, I want to see preachers and missionaries and song leaders and Sunday school teachers. Oh, my God, but if you like Samson of old, don't watch it. Your beautiful story will turn ugly in a hurry. I told you earlier, I love to shout, and I hope we do some, and we're going to do some if God helps us. And I preach on the Holy Ghost, and I want to this week, but I felt like God wanted us to get something a little deeper this time that would last after this youth camp was long over. And I hope that you'll not fall out with me for digging a little deeper than normal, than I normally do. I feel like I've got one more night of something like this, and maybe I'll preach on the Holy Ghost or something in that direction. But, oh, I want God to get a hold of our hearts and help us to realize that there's no backing up the tape. There's no rewinding the book and doing it over. What has been written will be rewritten forever and forever and forever. Oh, God, for we spend our years as a tale that is told. Oh, it's a story in progress. Oh, maybe we have 70 years. Maybe we have 80. But we'll soon be cut off and we'll fly away. Our spirit will go into eternity. To heaven if you know God. To hell if you're lost. Oh, how will your story end? What will be the end of your story? Amen. Woo! Hold on here. When God writes your life story, what will it be? But I felt a burden tonight to end on this note right here. I read a story of a life that did not start out with much promise. I read the story, really started out kind of sad. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jehoiakim, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. I open this book, I hear the first mention, the first pages of a story, a biography of a lady named Esther. It doesn't start out real good. Her mama's been killed. Her daddy's been killed. She's living with her cousin. But oh, I'm intrigued by this story, Brother Larry. For God is overlooking the story. And I begin to watch the story of Esther's life unfold. And I watch as the king gets angry with his queen, and Esther is chosen to be the new queen. And all of a sudden, this story gets a dramatic turn. For here we have, first of all, a captive Jew. Amen. She don't have no business in the king's palace. And second of all, amen, I find that she is chosen to be queen. Oh, man, look at this. She went from rags to riches, from poverty, amen, to providence. And I'm thinking, wow, what a story. And so I read on a little bit more. And I find out there, amen, that there's a man named Mordecai and a man named Haman who don't like him. And he plots and he puts a decree that all the Jews would be killed. And all of a sudden my nerves are tore up. The story's going bad. Esther's going to be killed. But I hear Mordecai say, who knows but that thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh, hallelujah. And I find out that God is in charge of this story. That God already had a plan. That God had already figured it all out. So we go a little farther. Woo! things aren't looking good. And I'm tempted just to close a book and say, I can't bear to see the ending. Surely it won't be good. I can't bear to see the slaughter. Amen. But I watch as God begins to work through Esther. And they fast and they pray. She goes into the king. Watch now as God begins to turn things around. Amen. And the enemy is defeated. And Esther is victor. And when I get to the end of the story, I find Esther is still the queen. And Mordecai is the king's right-hand man with riches. Oh, my. I'm going to tell you tonight, if your mom and dad's not saved, if your life hasn't had the best beginning, don't worry. God's got a good ending for your story. I said, God has a good ending for your story. Woo! Hallelujah. Y'all forgive me for using Thomas, but he's just my buddy. And I just feel like using him, so I'm going to. He ain't asked me, probably asked me not to. But I just love him. Hey, man. Thomas Dillo, born.
October 17, 1984.
Parents saved?
My mom.
Was she saved?
No.
Parents not saved. Not a very good beginning, Thomas. We can't bear this. Huh? This is a sad story. Daddy's in prison. Mama's running around. He's raising himself. He's throwing guns. He's stealing cars. He's going crazy. He's headed for prison himself. Looks like a story of the devil writ with his own hand. But don't close the book yet. Because God wants to write something in this story.
On around July the 5th, in the year 2001, at Mount Olive Youth Camp, God took the book out of the devil's hand and said, I'll take his story from here. I'm preaching on when God writes the story of your life. And I watched little Thomas as he began to seek after God and try to learn about God. And I watch him. Oh, hallelujah. Here just a couple months ago, after seeking of the Holy Ghost for 2 years, he wrote a chapter in his book on the night he got the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to tell you, God got a happy ending for your story. What shall you choose? You got two choices. Who's going to write the book? Who is going to make the ending? Woo! Born?
April 15, 1987.
Parents saved?
No.
Know anything about God?
No.
Go to church?
My mom did.
What kind of church?
It was a Pentecostal, but not holy.
Don't sound like a very good beginning. Let's just close that book, Sister Rose. We don't read that. That's going to be destruction. No. Because you see, Thomas got saved. And Raymond. And they went and got him. And they said, you need somebody else to finish your book. That biographer you got ain't doing too good. And I'm just here to report to you tonight, Mom and Dad still ain't saved. As far as I know, right, son? Amen. They don't want to let him come to church very much. They don't care too much for our religion. But he done handed the book over to God. And God done saved him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he's going to a wholeness church. Oh, I don't care about the beginning. You say, Brother Marquis, I'm not a fourth generation preacher. I wasn't born in the best of circumstances. It doesn't matter tonight. God, I said, God will write the chapter of your book. God will finish your story if you'll place your life in his hands. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, can I just give you a few more? I do have just 5 more minutes. It's early yet. Whew. Woo! All right. What we got here? I don't know what we got here. Hallelujah. I'm not sure. I tell you what we got. We got old Daniel down in the lion's den. Woo! Now this is a sad story. A sad story right here. Daniel, mom and dad killed, murdered, carried away from his home, carried into captivity. Sounds to me like a good chance for a man to get bitter, go crazy, kill everybody he could get his hands on, become insane. But oh, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. I like the story of Daniel. It's got a few ups and downs. A few times I get worried, but I never got so nervous as when I find him down in the den of lions. Ain't no way out. Amen. This is all over with for you, Daniel. Even the king thought his story was about finished. But oh, I hear him as he goes in the morning. Daniel, has the God you serve been able to deliver you? Oh, King, live forever. My God has sent his angel. Who? My God has sent his angel. Who? My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. You mean God's writing your story? Yeah. God is in control of my life. Woo! Hallelujah! When God writes your story. And so now, we got another scenario. It's another story. My mama read it to me when I was a little boy. It involves 3 main characters. Got a sad beginning. Matter of fact, it's right along with Daniel's. It's called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Didn't have a very good beginning to the story. Mom and dad killed, hauled off into captivity. Whew. Huh? But they too purposed in their heart that they wasn't going to defile themselves. Woo! Hallelujah. You can live for God even when you're not at youth camp. You can live homeless even when you're not at youth camp.
Yeah. Come on.
This story I read about them, they lived a good life, clean down in captivity 5 million miles from anybody without nobody to tell them to do right and everybody to tell them to do wrong. That's why I like the story so much. But I find them in a deadly predicament. I find them in a situation where the king says, bow down or be thrown into fire. You know, the devil's all the time trying to get us to quit. He's all the time trying to get us to bow down. He's all the time trying to get us to compromise. But you got to understand, they done let God write their biography. And they said, God, the ending is up to you. I hear him say, God, you're able to deliver us. But if you don't, we'll go out in a blaze of glory. Wow! God, you're able. But you got the key. You got the book. The story is up to you.
Is your life given to God tonight? Have you told God, live or die, sink or swim, Lord? You write me in. If you want me to sit on the pew the rest of my life and support a good preacher, I'll do it. If you want me to travel across the country with some crazy evangelist, I'll do it. Huh? If you want me to teach Sunday school class the rest of my life, just whatever, God. You're writing my book. That's where the Hebrew boys were, Brother Bird. I'm fixing the clothes. They said, here, Lord, got a clean slate with my life. I want you to write my story. And so, once again, I about put the book down. I can't bear to lose my 3 heroes. They done heated the furnace up 7 times hotter, Brother Tim, and it's not looking good. Now, Dad and Mom never let me have no comic books except besides Chick Tracks. They're legal. You're allowed to have Chick Tracks, comic books. But other than that, I didn't have no other collection, you know, except for that. The sample package, you ever get that? That mixed up. Well, I loved them, right? Hey, man, but there wasn't really no He-Mans or superheroes in them or anything. So I was reading through this story, and I was kind of depressed because my main 3 men was in the fire, but I forgot who the author was.
I said, I forgot who the author was. And he kind of got upset. And he said, I'm not finished with this story yet. And I have you to know, devil, you're not going to write the ending for it. You're not going to write the ending. I'm not finished with my story. And all of a sudden, the king said, whoa, what do I see? I see four men. I thought we cast in three. Who's the other? That's the author of the three Hebrew boys' biography. Who is that? He's likened unto the Son of God. He's the one that's writing the story. Lift your hands and worship God. Let's stand all over the house tonight. If you wouldn't mind tonight, now if you're too embarrassed, don't lift your hand. We don't embarrass nobody. How many of you here tonight have got lost parents? Get your hand high and hold up, Brother Brent. Lost parents, high. Hold it up. Look at this. I like to say tonight, and don't take me wrong, in the world's eyes, your book doesn't begin too good. Huh? I'm going to ask this question too. I hope I don't get in trouble. How many of you come from broken homes tonight? How many of you come from broken homes? Lift your hand high. Broken homes. Oh. What a sad thing, Brother Garrison. The first chapter. Sad. Second chapter. Stained with tears, Brother Spinago. It's the story of our youth campers. Some of them over here didn't get a very good start. But don't quit reading. Just flip a page. Because they're going to go to youth camp after a while. And they're going to give God their life. And say, let you write the story. Yeah. Woo! You know why we have youth camp for you guys? Because we refuse to close your book. No matter how sad the beginning. You understand? Everybody gets a chance at this place. I said, everybody, even if you're from New York, that's a bad thing to start off with. I've been down through New York. You started off with a bad mark on your life. Even if both your parents were saved, Holy Ghost filled and sanctified, you had a bad beginning. And if you're from West Virginia, we're going to tear a chapter out. But no. Huh? Brother Burroughs, I've heard him tell it a million times. Not really, but a couple. He didn't have a very good start. Huh? Born a Catholic. You know Catholics don't get saved. But somewhere around the age of, what age? 20 years old. He gave the pen to the greatest author of all. Woo! D.L. Moody. Selling shoes. A lost shoe salesman didn't know beans from apple butter about God. But someone invited him to church. He handed God the pen and said, would you write the rest of my life story? Huh? And it took a lot of ink as God writes page after page about a boy named D.L. Moody who won thousands and thousands to the Master. I know you're standing. But I just want to tell you tonight, remember 2 years ago here on the first night of youth camp, I believe it was, I preached on underestimated. How many members that was here that night? Huh? But I tell you tonight, you give God the pen, you better get ready to go. Because He can write faster than you can think. He'll take you to foreign fields. Whew. Huh? He might take you to Mexico. He's took me to Texas, to Alabama, to Arkansas, to North Carolina, South Carolina. But as a little boy, right here on this hill, I gave God the pen, Brother Chip Roy, and said, write my story, God. And in 1996, God gave me a little wife. And then 2 or 3 years later, a little boy and a little girl, a little boy. And he's still writing. And I'm just trying to keep up with him. Whew. Woo! Hallelujah! In just a few years, I told you, it was just yesterday that I gave him the pen. And I can't tell you how many chapters he's already got written. And I don't know how many more chapters he's going to write. But God help me to never take a pen back and take matters in my own hand. But say, Lord, whatever you do, wherever you lead, I'll follow. I want God to write the story of my life. Lift your hands and worship God. Let's stand. Everybody, let's stand tonight. Come on, let's stand, everybody. I really don't know how to give this altar call. But every head bowed and every eye closed. Now tonight, before we pray, I want you to leave an opening to this pulpit, boys. Slide over. Looking. Just a little bit. And as we come, the first ones that come, I want you to come right up on this platform. We got a lot of people, and I want you up front. Fill up this platform, girls. Come on up here and fill this platform up when we get ready to pray. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, there's still some of you here tonight. You're trying to write your own story. You're going to do it your way. But I'm afraid your story is going to have an ending that leaves us crying. An ending that leaves us sighing. We're going to start out with great promise and have a sad ending if you don't let God write your story. For you see, the devil's a hard taskmaster. I wonder if there's one here tonight, one of you young men, that's struggling with a little of that rebellion that Absalom struggled with, that would get out of your seat and come to this altar. Brother Marquis, I want God to write my story. Some of you young ladies that come to this camp full of contempt, rebellion, saying, wish I'd never even come. I'd like to see you get your heart softened. Come to this altar tonight and lift up the pen to God and say, God, finish my story. My life is in your hands. Would there be one here tonight? Would there be one? Come on. Come on. Come on, young man.
Oh, you have called me.
We're fixing to close. Because there's young people just waiting to get in this altar. We're trying to hold it up just a moment for you. God, write the ending to my story. God bless this girl. I don't know about the beginning of her life. I don't know how much promise it started out with. But if she'll give God the pen, there's no telling the ending he'll write for her. Come on. One more. One more tonight before we come. Get out of your seat right now. God, write the story of my life. Would there be one more? All right, young people. I want everybody's a camper. It's a must that you come to this altar. It's not an option. I want you to come up here right now. Every boy, every girl that's registered camper on this hill. I want you in this altar first. Come on up on this platform. Slide down just a little bit, Brother Nate. Let's fill this platform up. Come on, girls. Come on, boys.
Oh, would you leave?
Come on, boys. Come on up here.
Lord, oh,
let's crowd on in. There you
will go.
Come on, boys. Oh, we got room for a couple more up here.
Call me.
Come on, girls.
I will.
Some more of you girls coming up on this platform.
Lead me, Lord.
Oh, God.
I will go.
Come on. Come on, boys. Press on in.
Take the first step.
Lift your hands to God.
I'll know the way.
Here's a pen, Lord. Write my story.
It's so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith.